You're listening to Wins Above Fantasy, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network with Van Burnett and Steve Gisuelli.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Wins Above Fantasy, episode 96. Today is Thursday, 420. And Steve, we have a great show where we're going to be talking about the highest performers on StatCast. Talking about standouts. We got some that are rostered in a lot of leagues, checking if it's legit. And we have some up-and-comers that will not be on the radar and are virtually available in all leagues. Super excited to get into it, Steve. I know we've been chatting for 20 minutes off air just about the fantasy season. It feels like we're right in the heart of it, man. And we're both killing it, both first in our home leagues, which is really what got us into it in the first place. But this is always an exciting time of year because it's like we're just getting to that threshold of, you know, the sample size being large enough to where some of the StatCast numbers could start to be indicative of talent, which is what it's all about. And, you know, in past years, this being year three for us at Wins Above Fantasy, going back and listening to these types of shows, we've definitely identified that, you know, we were way ahead of the game on this Goldschmidt re-breakout and things of that nature. So I always like this show, Steve. I'm sure we'll do at least one more, you know, in the next month or so as we get more and more of a sample size, but super excited to get into it. How's it going?
Yeah, good. I think this is like an annual show. We've kind of done, I don't know if a StatCast standout is the proper name for it, just because it's, you know, certain stats haven't stabilized yet. There's more plate discipline still, so maybe we'll workshop the name a little bit. It's like, you know, early season surprises, like, or standouts, and, you know, deep diving onto them. A name from last year that I remember we did right on the show was, I think, Christian Walker. Like, we identified him, like, I think he only had like two home runs at the time, was hitting below 200, but he just popped out with all of his underlying numbers. And, you know, he ended up hitting 38 home runs and was a waiver wire find last year. So hopefully there's something like that on this show. And it sort of coincides, I think we kind of been hinting at it. It's funny how, like, there's moments in the season that I, you know, talk about coming and then they're here. It's like, you know, it's weird to witness it in real time, but it's like now the first 2.5 weeks are over the season. It's kind of like you're in the groove, right? Everything, your standings aren't changing as drastically each day. Guys' stat lines aren't moving too much. You know, it's taking two or three games rather than just like one big night to change stat lines. It's starting to get into the grind. Like, you know, we have 11 days left of April, and then you're kind of, you know, it gets warm for good. So it's we're fully in the swing of things is kind of the point. And it kind of coincides with when we could start looking at this data. Not everything is stabilized, like I said, but you should be able to get a good picture of who's performing, who's overperforming, and if they could keep it up.
Yeah, excited to get into it. Every year it's a good one, and usually the threshold is like 50 basically balls in play. So some of these guys have crossed that threshold. Others are a little bit shy. If it's like a platoon guy, we'll try to call that out. But we have about a dozen names to get into. Thank you guys for joining us. Hopefully this is a helpful episode for your guys' waiver claims or free agent ads going into the weekend. But little housekeeping, you guys can follow us on Twitter at WinsAbovePod. I'm at Van_verified, and Steve is at Stav8818. And we'll be here every Thursday throughout the regular season if this is your first time tuning in. So appreciate having you guys. And Steve, anything else to add on just kind of the timing and the general topic before we launch into some names here?
No, just to sort of piggyback off of what you said, for all of like the hard hit, bad ball metrics, barrel rate, all that sort of stuff, yes, you do like to see 50 balls in play. But for some of the plate discipline stuff, that's a little bit more sticky since the denominator is pitches. Like a good rule of thumb that I like to use, like if you're looking at something where it's over total pitches seen or total pitches thrown, that's going to stabilize a lot quicker. And then sort of to clear up like what a stabilization rate is it's basically that the sample of data that you're looking at is more meaningful than regressing it to league average. So just because a guy has a 15% barrel rate through 50 batted balls event doesn't mean that he is going to have a 15% barrel rate going forward. It just means that that should have more weight than regressing it to like the 8% league average. So just a little, you know, insight into what this all sort of means and how to sort of damper your expectations a little bit and just realize that.
Right.
Anything in the small sample.
This isn't where it's going to end up
exactly,
in September.
Exactly. Yeah. But it is still useful to look at, obviously.
Yeah. And you know, we found that firsthand for sure in recent years. So even if one or two of these guys that are kind of very low on the roster ship break out, those are pretty good odds compared to just kind of looking out at surface level stats. So first and foremost, Steve, I think we have to call out who's kind of been the early breakout GOAT, Matt Chapman, who I know in my home league with some different settings is ranked number two overall in fantasy. But Chapman is just off to a scorching pace. He's hitting .415, five home runs, 13 runs, 17 RBIs is very nice on the counting stats there, and a .1257 OPS. One thing with Chapman is you're usually counting on the average being somewhere around like, I don't know, 240 on a good year. It's climbing up a little bit. 363 XBA. Again, nobody's kind of putting in stone that Chapman is a 300 hitter. But now we've seen that he's one of those guys who has crossed that 50 batted balls in play. So no question that Chapman is making changes. And I think just at first glance, the plate discipline is what jumps out, that the K rate's down to just a 20.8% strikeout rate. I think you would have totally signed up for something like a 24, 25% strikeout rate with Chapman, but it's been even better. The walks are nice, around 10%. What are you seeing with Chapman here, Steve, for the Jays? Obviously a great offense to have exposure to, and it seems like he's pretty much been carrying the torch for them. Do you think it's legit? Kind of legit? I mean, how do we kind of project out Chapman from here, given how hot he started out?
Yeah, maybe not a, obviously not a waiver wire target, but it's funny, like Chapman was sort of viewed as like maybe even a tier below, but it's like, all right, you're in trouble now. Like we talked about how third base was so shallow, like you need to grab a third baseman early. If not, you want to grab one of them. Chapman was probably the bottom end of the like, okay, at least I got a decent fantasy player with some power here. But if you did that, you know, ended up with not only a really good third baseman, but through the first 2.5-3 weeks of the season, the best fantasy player or close to it. You know, pretty much whatever your settings are, he's basically been the first 3 week MVP for sure. The thing that stands out to most is something that you hit on. It's the plate discipline. Like this looks like 2019 Matt Olson when he hit 36 home runs, when he had a 22% strikeout rate and 11% walk rate, and you thought there was some room for improvement because the power skills have always been there. He's always hit the ball hard, always had a good barrel rate, and you would think, you would have thought that he was a guy that could like hard hit his way through a lower BABIP. That year he had .250 with 36 home runs. It was just a .270 BABIP. So for a guy that only struck out 22% of the time and hit the ball as hard as he did, there was no wonder that Chapman was like being viewed as a potential and like a guy that, you know, I think he was in his age 24 season or 25 season that year that was projected to be this like, okay, Chapman might be this heir apparent to Arenado as like a second round third baseman. That didn't happen over the next few years. And then even in 2021, you get .210 with 27 homers. Like, he was kind of forgotten. Bounced back a little bit last year in Toronto. I know there was some hype there going to that good lineup, but I mean, a .757 OPS was a little disappointing. You were hoping he would get back to like those mid 800s at least when he was in Oakland in his prime, but the strikeouts rate went up, and that sort of held the batting average down too. And now it looks like it's back. I mean, obviously, the barrel rate is ridiculous at 32% right now. The hard hit rate is also ridiculous at 68% right now. But the stuff that's stickier in smaller samples, like the K rate, the walk rate, you know, the contact rate, it's up to 81.3%. That's, you know, 3 points higher than in 2019. So really, really good stuff as far as the plate discipline and bat to ball skills for Chapman, which is what I'm most impressed with and why I think that it's, if someone's willing to sell high, like, I would be all over that. Like, Chapman, the powers, there's no question whatsoever. Like, he is a,
yeah,
he had 27 homers, like, he'll hit it every single year. But if this plate skills stick, like, 280, 35 home runs, like, top fantasy player is not out of the question, especially in that lineup with the counting stats that he can get.
Yeah, I mean, 280, that's something to dream on. I mean, the 2019 season, he was around 250, like mm-hmm. you mentioned. I think you actually said Matt Olson. Just to clarify, you were talking about Matt Chapman.
Sorry,
in the 2019.
Excuse me.
No, no, you're good.
Yes.
That's when you usually got
the wrong
got them
Oakland
confused.
Wrong
Oakland Matt Slugger. Yeah. But yeah, I think everything you said and sell high is exactly where I was, or buy high is where I was going. Would you trade Alex Bregman, who's been struggling and was picked about, you know, half the ADP investment of Matt Chapman at like a 72 overall pick? Would you trade your Bregman for Matt Chapman?
Without hesitation, yes.
Okay, okay. So, I mean, just playing chicken a little bit there. The next highest third baseman was Nolan Arenado, who on the year just has two homers. He is hitting .310. And I know we like Arenado, but would you go Arenado Chapman?
There I would go, okay, I'll give you Arenado, this top three round, four round pick for Chapman and maybe an upside arm. That's something I would do if you needed a pitcher, sort of try and get a two for one there, giving up the bigger name in Arenado. And I still think that Arenado probably will end up with more fantasy value, just because by the end of the year. But yeah, hey, maybe Chapman hits some more home runs. So if you need power more so than you do the average, maybe it's a way to get yourself a little extra piece without sacrificing too much at third base. I like that idea.
Yeah, one of the homers came off Christian Javier. That's always good to see that it's not just, you know, scrubs coming in that he's doing the damage on, but. Yeah, that's Matt Chapman, age 29. He still could easily put together a career year, and it looks like he's well on his way. So very exciting there for Matt Chapman. Congrats if you invested on draft day. Complete opposite end of the roster spectrum, just 2% rostered, is outfielder Carey Carpenter for the Detroit Tigers. Carpenter, who is really a name that wasn't on my radar as much, but you know what Detroit Tiger kind of is, and Carpenter batting cleanup for them has quietly made some noise here, and under the hood it looks even better, hitting .261, just three home runs, six runs, five RBIs, but at .876 OPS, and the XBA beneath that .261 average is .281. So Carpenter, you know, the stats look pretty good. The plate discipline, he is striking out 25.5% of the time. He does take a walk, however, 8.5%, a little above league average there. Steve, what are you seeing with Carpenter on kind of the underlying metrics? Because it seems like there's some reason to be excited here.
This was a guy put on my radar by Alex Chamberlain, former guest of the podcast. Alex does great stuff over at Fangraphs, of course, with the Pitch Leaderboard. But had he done sort of the peripheral prospects, I would have this year. I think Carey Carpenter may have been on it. I think that's how much he likes it. But a lot of the batted ball stuff looks really good. 79th percentile average exit velocity, 90th percentile hard hit percentage. Like you said, the X stats back it all up. 99th percentile in barrel rate. It's only 30 batted balls, so a smaller sample, but eight barrels already. That's pretty impressive. It looks like this is like a sneaky waiver wire, deep outfield league, some pop potential. You know, the fact that he's sitting just .260 right now, I think may keep him off the radar. But I think there's some sneaky deep league potential, and then potential for, you know, maybe a 14-12 team validity there if he can keep it up. The underlying metrics look pretty good, and it doesn't look like he's the guy that's going to have too much swing and miss in this game. So it could be like a, you know, ceiling 250, 25 homers sort of thing, I think, which is fantasy relevant for sure.
Yeah, it is. He caught my attention when he homered off my Kevin Gausman. I was frustrated on a start where he was kind of cruising. But yeah, he's done some good damage. I mean, hit a homer off Kurynczak, Anthony DeSclafani, who's been good this year as well. And yeah, I think overall, when you just look at like the whole picture right now, pretty much, you know, across the board, it's like he's got some speed, he's got some pop that he's shown, if it can stick. Curious.
36 quick, homers kind of, over three levels last year. 22 in Double
A,
eight in Triple A, six in the majors last year.
Wow. So yeah, that's legit power. So hitting cleanup, you know, you're going to get some volume, even if it is with the Tigers offense. But yeah, I think it's interesting. And one thing I liked about it too, Steve, is he's 28th in leaderboards on hard hit percentage, but he's 12th on the leaderboard for fly ball and line drive exit velocity.
Great so power indicator, yeah.
Always, yeah, it's kind of the pre-barrel indicator there is the fly ball, line drive, exit velo, and he's 12th on that list. So I think the signs are pointing up for Cary Carpenter. I think he went 2-for-4 today. So yeah, just definitely a watch list guy. But yeah, for, you know, 14 team, five outfielder leagues, I think he should be rostered, and he's only 2% rostered in Yahoo leagues right now. So it's a good name for the list. Steve, I don't know if you know this, but actually a lot of my friends that I play with associate my brand for my home league team with Yandy Diaz. I've rostered Yandy Diaz for many a year, and I got to say, I'm pretty excited. I grabbed him in the last round of my draft this year, and shout out to Alex Fast just before draft day. For me, I saw a tweet that he had that was like, are we ignoring Yandy Diaz, who's finally starting to lift the ball? He's having a good spring. And so far, it looks like this is finally, after four seasons, it seems like the breakout we've been waiting for. Hitting 274, six home runs, 16 runs, 13 RBIs. Great stuff right at the top of that order for the Rays and how dominant they've been. A 992 OPS for Diaz. He has homered now in back-to-back games, and his homer he hit tonight as we record this on Wednesday, or today, was the hardest hit of his career at 114.5 miles per hour. The name of the game, Steve, has been the launch angle, because there were seasons where Diaz had a negative launch angle, and even last year everyone was getting excited that it was improved. I think it went from 6 degrees up to 7 degrees. Right now the launch angle is 14.3 degrees, and we are now in a territory where Diaz's perennial plate skills might be pairing up with some pop that matches how jacked he is in terms of his body build. This could be super exciting, man. I know some people have talked about him as well as like a buy high. He is 73% rostered. I think that number's too low. But I think in leagues where he is rostered, I'd be targeting Diaz, man. I'm a believer, and with the Rays and the fact that he's not platooning this year, there's just tons of reason for excitement. Are you buying it for the 31-year-old as a late breakout here?
I, like you, also was patiently waiting for the Yandy Diaz breakout when he first signed with the Rays.
When he came over from like Cleveland, right?
Yeah, Cleveland. Yes. And they talked about wanting him to get the ball in the air more, and we saw this underlying hard hit rates, but just couldn't get the ball in the air. But, you know, it wasn't even like they wanted him to, you know, go become this 40 or 50% fly ball rate guy. He just needed to get like into the 30s. Like, he was at 8% in 2020, 17% the year before that, 22% in 2021. I think that was maybe his first year with the Rays, maybe it was before that. But this year he's doing the thing. It's 32.7% fly balls. And when you hit the ball as hard as he does, with some loft on it, that's going to lead to the bright, bright red StatCast page with all the sliders that, you know, they always were there, except for, like, the barrel rate, because he just didn't hit the ball in the air. But now it's
like
finally,
a Josh Bell.
It's finally coming all together. Yeah. Like, you know, he has the plate discipline. He doesn't swing and miss. He doesn't chase. This is what we all hoped and envisioned. I unfortunately don't have many shares of him this year. I sort of gave up there. I guess I should have paid more attention to you and Fast and what happened in the preseason. But this is what we've all been waiting for. So I'm shocked that he is rostered in just 73% of Yahoo leagues. He should be rostered in every league.
So going down the rabbit hole on a potential buy high here, looking at like would this be first baseman? Because he's first and third eligible in Yahoo, but how high can you go is the question. I feel like it's a no-brainer on like a Rowdy Tellez who was drafted well ahead of him. I know there's a little bit different skill set there, and Tellez, you know, he's got five homers himself, but he's hitting .224. Start out with Tellez versus Diaz.
Yeah, I would definitely. I think I would go. Maybe it's not as quick as I think, just because Tellez does have 35 homer pop. I don't know if Diaz is going to keep up this pace, but the average upside is definitely
25.
There. I think Diaz is first, third in like all formats, so it's hard to do just a straight up first baseman for him, but I think I would give the slight edge to Diaz, honestly, with the plate skills and the higher average floor upside, honestly.
I would.
And even in OBP, right? Like, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Tellez takes a walk, too, but, like, Yandy always runs close to a 400 OBP.
Yeah, I'm pretty bullish. I know we're going to talk about Ryan Mountcastle, who had a blistering hot start, and he's cooled off considerably recently. That could be a good one. Maybe we'll just jump into Mountcastle, but I would go over Mountcastle as well, even with his hot start. I know the homers is where there's a trade-off once you get to guys like CJ Cron and stuff, but I still think given the average is going to be a higher floor for Yandy. I like it, man. I know he's 31, but I think if you took what he has going for him right now and it was on like a 24, 25-year-old prospect, I think it'd be through the roof. So I'm super excited. But I don't know if we got any closing thoughts on Diaz before we keep it moving here.
No, it's great that it's finally happening. Like, we waited around seemingly every year. And, like, despite that, like, last year Diaz was a pretty good fantasy player despite, like, essentially being a zero in the homer department. But he just got on base so much and was on a good race team that he did provide some sneaky value. So that alone probably should have driven up his draft day cost and interest a little bit. But like we just said, like, all that needed to happen was that launch angle adjustment. We've been waiting for it for years, and it finally is happening. So I see no reason to jump ship with Diaz.
Yeah, yeah. Last year hit .296, just had the nine homers. This could be a .280, 25-homer guy with some really good runs at the top of the Rays.
Like, if he gets to, like, 18 homers, like, he obviously has six now. He's already a third of the way there. But even if he's, like, an 18-homer guy, like, if his line last year was – you know, if he slugged .480 instead of the .423, like, that's approaching a 900 OPS because of how much he gets on base and the average skill, right? That's like a fantasy stud. So with this much power, like, you know, he has 922 OPS right now. I'm not saying that he's going to have 1,000 OPS, but you're starting to look at what the ceiling is if these power gains hold.
Yeah, I mean, he is not short of power. It was always just the launch angle, and it looks like he is correcting that to where, who knows, he could be a 30-homer hitter. We just don't know yet. So, okay, that's the hype train for Yandy Diaz. We got more under-the-hood studs to start the season, albeit some small sample sizes. We got some small roster rates as well that you can probably go out and add right away. But first, we're going to take an ad break, and we'll be right back. All right, so Steve, back down to a guy who's widely available. It's Jack Sawinski, outfielder for the Pittsburgh Pirates, the overperforming Pittsburgh Pirates, one might say. Not that that's coming from a bitter Cardinals fan in the NL Central or anything, but the Pirates are putting it together. We got a couple on the rundown today, and Sawinski is, he's kind of, he came up last year, and he actually had a surprising amount of pop. He had 19 homers in 106 games. He's been very much a platoon guy, but today he started his first game against a lefty, and that's because he's starting out hot with the Pirates. He's batting 250, which is fine, but four homers, five runs, nine RBIs, and a 967 OPS. And Sawinski's kind of a name that, I'd heard Eno Saris talking about him. Scott White over at CBS kind of said he thinks there's going to be steady production this season. Of course, this is a deeper league target with the disclaimer, but Jack Sawinski right now, among qualified, and he does not have enough of a sample size to where this is stabilized, but on the list, he is third in barrels per plate appearance with a 17.5% barrel rate there. And Sawinski, Steve, what do we think about the Pirate outfielder? Do you think this is someone that's got your attention, watchlist guy? What are our thoughts?
Definitely has my attention. I know he was a popular ad because the Pirates were in Coors these last few days. It was Connor Joe Revenge Week. He and another Pirate that we'll talk about had themselves a series, which was fun to see. But yeah, like you said, the power, we know it's legit. Like, Sawinski was a popular waiver wire ad at some points last year. I know it sort of faded, and the average really wasn't there. It was strictly just for power. Like, those 19 home runs was basically all they gave you. He did chip in four steals too, which was nice, but the 200 batting average, a 30% strikeout rate, really kind of put an anchor on the upside and the value there. This year, there's some other encouraging stuff, particularly the chase rate. His O swing is down from 27.4% to 17.9%. So whenever a power hitter starts to chase less, like, that's always more intriguing to me, even more so than like the drop in K rate, because yeah, these guys are going to swing and miss, but if they're not chasing, they're looking at pitches that they can do damage on. Despite, you see, okay, hey, he just dropped it, it's only 3%, he's still striking out 27.5% of the time. It's almost more important that he's not swinging at the pitches off the plate. Like, if he takes a gigantic hack at one meatball down the middle and he misses it, yeah, it stinks, but at least, like, he's not swinging at something in the dirt that he has absolutely no chance on. Like, the next time that mistake's going to be there, he's going to crush it, right? I think that's a bit encouraging, and maybe it'll lead to, a little bit more of a upside and average, and maybe potentially like a Rowdy Tellez type season, like a 230, 240, 30 homer. Like, he has that pop. Like, he hit 19 and 326 plate appearances, or at bats last year, 372 plate appearances. So, the pace of power is there. And if there's any bit of improvement in the average, then this guy's definitely more viable than just like a power stream. Like, he could be a fourth, fifth outfielder, absolutely no question.
Yeah, one thing I like about just what he did last year is a lot of those homers were spread across the board. He had 9 against fastballs, 7 against breaking balls, 3 on changeups. So, it's not one of these guys that's like only doing damage on one pitch and it's an easy book on how to, get him to strike out. Some batted ball stuff, again, I know the sample size is too small, but so far this season, the ground ball rate is down from 43% to 29%, all pretty much traded out for fly balls, which is what you want to see for a guy like this. And yeah, I mean, in terms of player comps, you mentioned one there, Steve, with like Tellez, but like on his Savant page, the player comps are Jorge Soler, Tyler O'Neill, Eugenio Suarez. Like, that's probably the profile you're looking at. But if he's not going to be platooned, which is something we need to watch closely on how it goes against lefties with the Pirates, but this could be really sneaky for like a industry NFBC league or just, again, a super deep five outfielder league where, you know, you're probably looking for some help and Sawinski could provide it. So I think, right now the XBA is at 279. So, of course, all this is, you know, he's on a hot streak, no question. But, yeah, I think this could be a guy that's like 240 with that 25-30 homer upside like you're talking about. So I think Sawinski's a good one there. Moving along, I think we got to talk about Jared Kelnick. I know we've talked about him in some past shows. He had hit four home runs in four consecutive games. He's still hitting .310, eight runs, nine RBIs, and .988 OPS. He has cooled off since the four homer stretch. But under the hood, it looks like it's still pretty impressive in terms of his barrel numbers. So, Steve, what are you seeing with Kelnick? And are we, you know, we'll probably need to continue to assess how, whether or not this is kind of for real a breakout or not. But what are your thoughts on Kelnick as it relates to kind of
Your boy TJ declared it to be for real on Twitter, asking us to talk about it on the show.
The king of overstatements, but yeah, here he is.
I tend to agree with him because even more so than the, you know, I know the power, the homer binge is over. Not to say that there's not going to be more coming soon, but what's more impressive is the fact that the K rate during that time has dropped. Like, you know, when he had that 2-3 homer games in a row, he was still striking out 35% of the time. That's down to 26.2%. So that's getting better. Like, that's more of what we, like, you know, if Kelnick had zero home runs and everything else was still there as far as the Bauer rates and the strikeout and the walk rates, like, I would still be just as impressed, right? Like, he's walking more, striking out less. Another guy that's reaching less, 31.2% to 27.1%, making a lot more contact, which is like what he, you know, he just was not hitting the ball. Even when he was striking out 33% of the time, it was more concerning that the swing and miss was just prevalent in his game. It went from 69.5% contact rate, that is, to 78.6%. That's much closer to league average and a lot more palatable for a guy with this skill. And it just looks like, you know, there was another stance change. I know you kind of roll your eyes at that with Kelnick because that's all you heard about when he was sent down to the minors and make this adjustment or that adjustment to his swing or stance. But it looks like there's finally something that clicked in this most recent change. So I really like it. I wish I had more shares and I wish that I sort of stuck to it, but the 14.7% swing strike rate last year, yeah, that's down to 9.6%. So one of the biggest improvers in that category as far as just swing and miss, swing and strike, the number of swings and misses per pitches that you see. So that's really good. It's like 3 points below league average. So really liking what I see with Kelnick. The zone contact is back up. That's a number that you like to see high. It's at 85%. So not missing pitches inside the zone. That's going to help keep your strikeout rate down. And with the raw power that Kelnick has and just the tools, like, there's a reason why we were so hyped up about him. So I'm excited, and I think it's all finally coming together for Jared Kelnick.
Yeah, and he's 84% rostered, so, you know, outside of real shallow, like 10-team leagues, probably not an ad. In terms of, you know, buying high on Kelnick and buying the breakout, obviously the manager who has him is probably going to be pretty stubborn, but, you know, a couple of Cardinals going way ahead of him at the end of draft season, Lars Nootbaar, even like a Jordan Walker, either one of those would you deal, just knowing the upside for Kelnick? And if we are kind of, you know, on the binary scale saying, is this a breakout or not? I think we would probably bet that it is a breakout. So would you, you know, how high on the outfield list would you be looking at dealing? I mean, Anthony Santander is another guy that was way up there who's been, you know, slow out of the blocks. What do you think on kind of trade targets for Kelnick? I know you don't like doing the challenge trades usually, but just theoretically speaking.
I think I'd like Kelnick more than any of those guys. Like, I would hope that a hot streak for Lars Nootbaar is what Kelnick is doing. Maybe the plate discipline is a little more comforting for Nootbaar, and I know he was hurt, so it's a much smaller sample, and he hasn't really even got a full stretch of playing time, but they do tend to send him versus lefties, and you know, Kelnick has sort of already earned that, okay, we have to start this guy versus anybody sort of playing time. Not saying that Nootbaar can't do that, and his plate skills and OBP should probably be higher, but I mean, Kelnick's walking at 12% of the time now too, so I think based on this, it's close, but I think I'd rather have Kelnick.
Yeah, I love the walks from Newt. Jordan Walker, a little pun intended there, but the launch angle for Walker is just 3.5 degrees so far. I mean, he's been a singles machine. I know everyone was talking about the hit streak, but now he's just batting 269. He's got the two home runs, but not a lot in the air. So it's kind of in that Yandy Diaz type of space. Hopefully he can turn that around. I don't think I would do it for Walker just yet, but I think Nootbaar, it's fair with the playing time and everything the Cardinals do there. So anyway, food for thought there. Let's keep it moving to another outfielder, one we already named. Jorge Soler himself is having a nice little bounce back season. 267 average, 5 homers, 8 runs, 10 RBIs, a 976 OPS. And Steve, I know last year I was big time on the hype train for Jorge Soler. He's one of my bold predictions. And it all was focused on the strikeout rate gains that he had when he went from the Royals to the Braves. And then last year was kind of a disaster. He couldn't stay healthy when he was. The strikeouts were bad. So far, just a 21% K rate. And yeah, the pop looks good for Soler. He's hitting cleanup for the Marlins. 20% rostered in Yahoo, so he is available out there. I've been seeing him get snatched up in a couple leagues. What do you think on Soler here? Is this good Atlanta Braves Soler? Is this another kind of hot stretch that's going to trick us for Soler and he's going to slump hard in the next month?
It looks like those plate skills and strikeout rate gains that you fell in love with are sort of back. Similar story to Sawinski. The chase rate is a lot better. It's much improved and leading to that, you know, looking like that 2019 Jorge Soler, where he had a 78th percentile chase rate, hit those, 48 home runs with a 260 average sort of thing. It's at 76% this year. So looking similar to that peak Jorge Soler, second half Atlanta Braves Jorge Soler. And the power, there's just no question. Like, if you go to on his Savant page and go to the game logs and then StatCast and then just look at his batted balls, it's like 99 miles an hour, 102, 107, 106, 101, 107. Like, those are his last six balls in play. Just absolutely, yeah. Like that, like, you don't need to talk about that with Soler. Like, the power is there. It's just what's intriguing and caught my eye is the plate discipline. He's making the same amount of contact, but the fact that he's chasing less is really, really impressive, and hopefully leads to that depressed strikeout rate. Like, you know, it was 29% of the time, but in Kansas City in 2019, when he had that monster year, it was 26% of the time. So if he's at 25-26% range, and with this raw power, like, essentially all he would need to do is stay healthy, and it could be a 250-40 homer season, right? Especially with the fact that it's looking like the balls aren't as dead as they were last year. Maybe not happy fun ball of 2019, but maybe somewhat happy, somewhat fun ball of 2023.
Yeah. Yeah. Soler ranks second on that barrels per plate appearance. Just 44 batted ball events, so a little shy, but second, trailing only Matt Chapman. And then, pretty much every hard contact power metric. He is top five on the leaderboard. So the pop is real, like you said, Steve. And I think 20% should go way up until we see the slump because, man, when it's a good breakout for Soler, he very much is, and we've seen it, you know, a couple times in the past 4 or 5 years, the ability to be a league winner. I think he kind of gets knocked because when it is bad, it's so bad. But, you know, when he's kind of avoiding the Ks like he is right now, the rest just kind of falls into place with how much power he has. So that's a good one. And also a good segue to a guy who has almost the same level of pop, but not the plate discipline. And that's Patrick Wisdom. I don't know about you, Steve, but in a lot of leagues I'm in, he's just been hovering in the top ad slot, and a lot of managers just kind of looking at each other like, who's going to go first? Who's going to roll the dice with Wisdom before he slumps out for the next 3 weeks and basically go through a spell like Mountcastle is right now? But right now he is riding high, tied for the MLB lead in home runs with Pete Alonso. He has 8 bombs on the season, hitting .279 for batting average. 15 runs, 15 RBIs is fantastic on the counting stats. 1097 OPS. He's 12th in the league in barrels per plate appearance. And the downfall, of course, is the plate discipline, where he still has a strikeout rate north of 30%. And it just leads you to wonder, like, is this kind of same old Patrick Wisdom where you're going to see a hot spell like this and it's something that's more of a trap than anything? He's also 78% rostered, but I'm sure he's available in some 10, 12-team leagues. How do you assess this Wisdom breakout, Steve? I think 5x5 is a little bit better than points leagues, but it's still, I got to admit, I'm skeptical on it.
Yeah, I'm skeptical. Probably the least convinced. But I also think that maybe he's going to be good enough that he's not just like an instant drop after the streak ends. Last year I feel like he was like a guy that was added and then dropped a million times. But hey, if you added him when this hot streak started, you got a few more homers in a row. But yeah, there aren't these plate discipline gains that jump out to me with Wisdom, but I think that it's probably going to be worth it because last year, you know, he had 25 homers and 534 plate appearances. I don't see why the Cubs aren't going to play him. And if he can just keep the K rate, even just around 30% from the 34%, it could be like a 220, 230 average that makes you be able to hold on to him so that you're not like trying to scramble for his next hot stretch. Like maybe it's a guy that you can keep on your bench for a little bit until he does get hot again. I know that's tougher in weekly leagues to do. You might just have to suck it up, just leave it in there and take those weeks where he's not as good. But hey, I mean, I'll take the 4% strikeout rate gain, even if he is still striking out 30% of the time. That's not nothing, especially for like a all or nothing hitter that Wisdom is.
Yeah, just kind of perusing all these home runs. It looks like a couple came against Athletic pitchers. Did hit one off of Julio Urias, Michael Grove, Andre Jackson, Martin Perez.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe it's a guy you throw in when his schedule's pretty easy, you know, something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. And in terms of, like a streaming factor, Cubs upcoming games, looks like they've got a series with the Dodgers, then the Padres, then the Marlins. So it could be a little tricky.
Yeah, some tough pitchers there.
Eight games. Yeah, if he can get out of that, there is a series against the Nats. But yeah, this will be a better test than him coming off of this hot streak against the Athletics. So yeah, that's Patrick Wisdom. I think it's a good point, though, Steve, that, you know, he had 25 last year, 28 the year before that. And those were years where his K rate was 34%, 40%. So good point that we are seeing improvements at just like a 30% strikeout rate. And that could be enough to make him rosterable and helpful especially if you can just pair him with, you know, some slap hitter Boy Scouts like a Stephen Kwan or somebody who can hold your average up a little bit. But we are going to get to more StatCast names here, but we're going to take our second ad break and we'll be right back. All right, without further ado, Ryan Mountcastle. Mountcastle started about as hot as any player, had all of our attention. He's still second in the majors in RBIs with 20, tied for second there. He has 6 home runs, but batting just .219 after he's been on a 3-for-28 slump here in the past week or so. The strikeout rate is about the same as it was last year. You know, Mountcastle is a tough one to put our finger on, Steve. His draft stock fell quite a bit from last year to this year. And I know the walls out in Camden are kind of a factor for him. But crystal ball, I mean, where do we see Mountcastle ending up as he's now kind of shown us 2 seasons already where he's like one of the best hitters in baseball and then one of the ones that, like, you know, you can't imagine not cutting him when you see what he's doing night in, night out for a week and a half.
Yeah, I think Mountcastle's like kind of like a premium Patrick Wisdom, like, which is, I mean that in like a nice way. Right. I think that, you know, his floor for average is like 240, 250. It does look like he's underperforming a bit. His XBA is 286. I know last year he had a 277 XBA versus that 250. So maybe he's sort of a guy that he hits so many fly balls, but does hit the ball hard that he's kind of always going to underperform those metrics. But I think he is getting a little unlucky now and probably deserves a little bit more than the 208, 232, 494 slash line that he's running with right now. So I think it's a decent buy low. I know that hot start, or maybe people are frustrated now after he kind of came crashing back down to earth, but all of the power metrics are really, really good. Yeah, he's going to strike out a lot. Yeah, he doesn't walk, so that's kind of a drag in OBP leagues. But I think Mountcastle kind of is who he is, and I think that, you know, last year sort of is kind of the floor. Like, I would expect closer to 30 home runs than the 22 that he had last year. With that 250, you know, 245, 255 sort of range, OPS around 800, which is you know, fine for a first baseman, really good for a CI. So I think there's a mini buying opportunity considering how tough this stretch has been for him.
Yeah, and it might be a nice time to buy low. I mean, he's got probably a get right series coming up here with the Tigers. And yeah, beyond that, looks like their upcoming games, they got after the Tigers, they got the Red Sox, they got the Tigers again, and then they got the Royals. So we might have a nice hot stretch here for Mountcastle. And yeah, that I agree that he should turn it around a little bit. I don't know that. I mean, yeah, the average is interesting that he's always landed at 250. I would have thought with the plate discipline issues, but I guess he's got a pretty decent hit tool. He'll get some singles mixed in there. So, yeah, I think, you know, still hitting in the heart of the order, batting third for the Orioles. It's pretty safe. I wouldn't be thinking of dropping if you've weathered the storm with the 3-for-28, because much better matchups on the way here for Mountcastle. But let's shift over to outfielder who's kind of been surging, Brent Rooker for the Oakland Athletics. Now, kind of disclaimer, he's dealing with a hammy bruise. I think he sat a couple games in a row. They might IL him, so keep an eye on that. But, man, Brent Rooker batting .324, 4 home runs, 5 runs, 11 RBIs, a .1071 OPS for Rooker. And it looks great under the hood. He's 6th in the league in barrels per plate appearance. Of course, that's also with a smaller sample size than some of the other guys like Chapman. I think he's just got like 30 batted ball events somewhere in there. But yeah, so far so good for Rooker with, you know, the hard hit rate. The XBA is .342, so even better than his .324 batting average. And he's another guy who's hitting in the heart of the order. It's a bad team, but he's going to see volume batting third, batting fourth for the A's. He's pretty available, Steve, just 25% rostered. I personally don't have any shares, but I put some fab bids in and lost out slightly in NFBC leagues. I'm interested in Rucker. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's an intriguing profile. Another guy that the power isn't in question. He had 28 home runs across two levels last year, or two teams at AAA. So, but that was just in 81 games. So pretty impressive stuff. Like, he's always had a good barrel rate when he's been up with the Twins. Like, even small samples, he's at a 14.3%, 12.6%. So yeah, it's not out of line to see, or beyond expectations, to see the power numbers that he's putting up. And, you know, in this small sample, it's not like he's getting lucky. The X stats back it all up. I mean, with a 51.6% hard hit rate, that's how you're going to do it. The fact that he's just striking out 16% of the time, like, it's encouraging. However, the O-swings are in line with what he's done in the past. The contact rate is still just 66.7%, so you would like to see that higher. So I would expect a good amount of regression in the strikeout rate. Let's see what the swing strike rate is here as I pull it up. Yeah, 15.9%, which is right in line. So I am expecting some serious strikeout regression. That being said, I don't think he can't be a low average, high power producer sort of guy that we've been talking about, like a Patrick Wisdom in the outfield.
Yeah, that's the theme. And yeah, he, you know, his in terms of his batted ball numbers, like, his launch angle is up quite a bit this year. He's got more fly balls, so it's what you want to see from a power standpoint. The four homers that he's had haven't been off great pitchers, so it certainly won't be as good as it has been, but I think he is one of the best hitters in that lineup, and age 28 is kind of power prime, and it looks good so far. I mean, some of those homers have been, you know, straightaway center field, always a good power indicator as well. So I think Rucker's interesting one for sure. I think probably 14 team leagues he should be rostered, but 12 team, you know, you might be wary of the regression like you're talking about, Steve. So yeah, anything else to add on Rucker there, or are we good to keep moving to another outfielder?
Let's move it along.
All right, well, hey, here we are talking about Andrew McCutchen, Pirates outfielder in 2023, and we have to, Steve. I think he kind of rocked us to sleep the past few years underperforming, but he's got the good vibes going with the comeback tour in Pittsburgh, batting .310 with a .417 OBP. He's always been able to take a walk, and a .586 slug. Four homers, three steals for good measure, 10 runs, 9 RBIs. McCutchen, man, what are you seeing under the hood with him? And do we think that this is kind of legit rosterable in 12-team, 14-team leagues?
This looks like, you know, prime MVP, first overall fantasy player, Andrew McCutchen. I know it's a small sample and it's probably not going to keep up, but it is just amazing to see. Like, you know, it's super cool that he's doing it back in Pittsburgh,
for sure.
But he's walking more than he's striking out. I mean, he's got a .226 ISO, which is, you know, right in line with those 2012, 2014, where he was a perennial MVP candidate. The hard hit rate is up. The barrel rate is up. It's really cool to see. And what's most impressive to me is the fact that he's 97th percentile in outfielder jump, 89th in sprint speed. His sprint speed has always been pretty good. Like, even last year was 90th percentile. But his outfielder jump, like, in 2021 was 24th percentile, 2020, 18th percentile. So it kind of just showed that he, like, lost the step a little bit. For it to be in the 97th percentile this year, like, who knows? Maybe he's, like, fully healthy and just rejuvenated being back in Pittsburgh, whatever. But it's kind of like, hey, is like, are we getting just like a renaissance year from McCutchen? Like, we've had these sort of seasons from like these borderline Hall of Famers, right?
I was just going to say, Votto, he's had a career, man.
Right? Like, you know, years that like, in their late 30s that these superstars of past just explode again for one more time.
Carlos Beltran comes to mind, for sure.
So maybe it's not smart to just write it off as something that's, you know, we'll cool off in 2 weeks. Like he hit 27 homers in 2021. So the power is there. Like if he could pair that with a lower strikeout rate and a hard hit rate that, you know, with his speed, he could have a decent batting average. Like, who knows? Maybe we're getting a 280, 25-15 season from McCutchen.
Yeah, I mean, you'd bet against it just because of, you know, kind of basic logic of how old he is and just kind of his power speed profile, and it hasn't all been there with, like, the hit tool. But, yeah, he's red hot now with 3 homers in his last 4 games. A couple of those were at Coors. But, yeah, the kind of the athleticism metrics you were talking about, Steve, is wild to see, and it's just best, it is super cool. Best, I mean, it's got to be great for
best hard hit rate of the Statcast era for him. So, by a decent margin. Like in 2015, it was 44.1%. This year, it's 44.7%. He was never above 42% any of those years in between. So, and in that 2015 season, it was like he had an 89 OPS with 21 homers, 11 steals, like. Still an amazing player.
Yeah, it's a bummer that O'Neill Cruz went down with the injury, because with some of the things going on here in Pittsburgh, and, you know, they got like Andy Rodriguez, who will be an exciting call up. You know, it's got to be crazy for Brian Reynolds to be like, you know, more or less a foregone conclusion that he's got to move at the deadline. But if the Pirates keep this up, like,
it's like, does he want to be a part of it? Yeah,
this is the best culture by far. Yeah, it's kind of like the, I don't know, like Hosmer in Kansas City or Rizzo in Chicago, where it's like you weather the storm when they're so bad for so long that it's got to be cool. And it would be so awesome to see McCutchen do it, kind of like Pujols last year, just you know.
Yeah, that's another one too, right? Like that's a perfect example too. Like, I know it was really only like the last 2 months, but Pujols was super fantasy relevant. Like there was a stretch where he was like one of the best hitters in the league for a month.
Yeah, and is anything more fun than when you have one of those awesome baseball stories and it's helping your fantasy team? So yeah, gotta love it. We're rooting for it for sure, but. McCutchen, I think there are reasons to be excited here with the chase rate stuff like you're talking about, and just overall that it looks really good with the X stats. So round us out, Steve, with Jorge Mateo. This is a guy that I now associate with Steve Gisuelli whenever I think Mateo. And yeah, it's been exciting so far with the 362 average. OPS well over 1,000, 3 homers, 8 steals, 13 runs, 12 RBIs. Like, this to me, and it's a broader topic, but I love that the Rabbits are benefiting the most so far from the bigger base paths or bigger bases, because it seems like everyone is saying, like, oh, it won't really benefit the guys who you expect to get 25, 30 steals. And it seems like those are the guys who are running wild right now. But Mateo's been at the front of that, and it looks like it's not just empty speed like we've talked about in the past. So what's your take on everything that Mateo's doing and what it might mean for fantasy?
Some cold water, a caveat. He did leave Wednesday's game, and he's been banged up in general. He missed a game with an ankle, I think also a hand injury, and he was removed with a sore hip. So Thursday, as this comes out, be sure to monitor that. I believe the Orioles are off on Thursday, so we might not get news till Friday or the weekend, but just something to monitor. But it's still warranted to talk about, just because Mateo, I think, you know, in the Discord, in the Pitcher List Discord, shout out, join Pitcher List Pro or Plus and get access to our Discord, and there's a baseball trivia, and Mateo has just been a great source of, you know, what player has improved XYZ the most this year, or top five, like more so than any of that slash line or the stolen base totals, because you expect it. You know, even the three homers, you saw he had some pop last year with the 13 homers and had some stretches with that. The fact that he's striking out just 16.1% of the time, walking 9% of the time, and all the underlying plate skill, discipline skills that are there that he needed to take a step in, he has. These are through Tuesday night games, so he missed one game on the 17th. His O swing went from 39.4%, so chase rate, to 26.5%. His contact rate went from 71% to 75.8%. His swing strike has dropped from 15.4% to 10.7%, and zone contact is up to 87% from 83.6%. So all of those plate skills, like paired with the raw athleticism and power that Mateo has shown, it's material for a breakout. Like, if anyone drops him, doesn't hold him, even if there is an IL stint, you have to be all over that. Or if you can trade for him, if you have the room on the IL, like, because this could be like peak Jonathan VR, you know, 18 homer, 60 steal with, you know, a 280 average, if he can keep his strikeout rate, any of those gains, right? If he strikes out 16% of the time, like, he could hit 300 with how fast and how hard he hits the ball.
Yeah, it is. It's salivating. It seems like we've been waiting for years, and it's been the plate discipline and honestly, like, the contact skills. But to see that all that stuff's moving in the right direction.
All the power metrics are way up, too. Like, his barrel rate last year was 31 percentile, and it's 46 percentile last year. Average exit velocity last year was 12 percentile. It's up to 86 percentile. Max EV, 92nd percentile. After being in the 75th percentile last year, like, hard hit rates way up from 13% to 75%. Like, everything that you could improve on, Jorge Mateo has improved on.
Yeah, and just, like, looking at his game logs, like, 0-0-0 for strikeouts, and it's like, that is refreshing to see for Mateo. And you got to imagine it's a matter of time, if he stays healthy, that he won't be hitting eighth or ninth in that order. Mm-hmm. Unless they're trying to kind of cheat him, is that, like, leadoff before the leadoff, it would be great for him to move up. There's some upside there. But, yeah, we talked about with Mountcastle that there's three or four great series for the Orioles coming up. Hopefully he stays healthy and can keep doing some damage here. But, yeah, Mateo, 83% rostered, so, you know, really kind of shallow leagues, but I think he's pretty much, as long as he's healthy, must roster in all formats. So even like 10-team leagues, and maybe it's another situation where you can kind of buy high if he continues this. Now, it would have to be very high because, again, that he's kind of like a top 10 fantasy guy so
far. Yeah, if Chapman isn't ranked one in your league, Mateo probably is.
Right. So there's that, but I think we're buying the breakout, and if somebody gives up too quick, you know, keep an eye on if the plate skills have stayed, because that's the biggest thing for Mateo. So, nope, that rounds us out. So I know there's a lot of names there, Steve, but a good list. And I think next week we're shifting over to do something similar for pitchers, right?
Yep, I love it. We'll do some sort of hot start or, you know, deep dives on some pitching names, which is always fun. And, you know, we'll have a sample of, like, five starts from those guys, which is pretty good. So we should get into some interesting stuff there next week.
Yes, and as always, if you guys have any questions, topics you guys want us to cover on the show, you can always email us, winsabovefantasy@gmail.com, or reach out to us on Twitter. The show is @winsabovepod. I'm @van_verified, and Steve is @stav8818. But that is episode 96. Talking about working title, early season surprises, StatCast standouts, whatever you want to call it. Hopefully these guys can help your fantasy teams. And we're buying most of what they're showing on the underlying metrics. So that rounds us out, guys. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. And we're excited to talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Later.